Thanks for listening to the best of the Odd Couple podcast. Be sure to catch us live every weekday from 7 p.m. to 10 p.m. Eastern, 4 to 7 Pacific on Fox Sports Radio. Find your local station for the Odd Couple at foxsportsradio.com or stream us live every day on the iHeartRadio app by searching FSR.
You're listening to the best of the Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker.
Jason Light, the GM for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, was on Get Up on ESPN today, and he talked about his recruitment. I say that in quotes, air quotes. The Buccaneers' recruitment call with Tom Brady. He said it was a little bit in the reverse. Here he is.
Wednesday rolled around, and we were able to talk to Tom Brady. We had a great conversation, Bruce and I. We talked to him for over an hour and a half. And he made it clear in the conversation that he was very, very interested. It was almost like a recruitment on his part, telling us why it would make sense for him to come to Tampa Bay.
I got no problem with this whatsoever. I mean, this is good. Brady's excited about being there. He saw Mike Evans. I like him. He saw Chris Godwin. I like him. He saw the two tight ends. You know I do damage with tight ends. He saw a defense that if they don't have to, you know, if the offense isn't giving up pick sixes every 2 weeks and, you know, getting in poor field goal position because of interceptions the offense thrown, that they can be pretty good. A defense that was improving over the last 6 weeks of the year. He, like me, sees that with him at the helm, with him making the smart decisions, with him moving the football down the field, with him being clutch as always, that the Tampa Bay Buccaneers can be a postseason team in the NFC. I got no problem with Tom Brady telling that to Bruce Arians and Jason Light and saying, you need me. I want you, but you need me. Let's do it.
You're trying to sugarcoat it, but this is as pathetic as it gets for Tom Brady.
Stop it.
Absolutely pathetic that he has to go and beg a franchise like Tampa Bay, which hasn't been in the playoffs for 12 years, for a gig. Chris, it underscores what I've been telling you. Yes, basically grovel, hands and knees, if
you
could get that close.
Yourself?
No, but wait. He's supposed to be the GOAT.
Time it is.
He don't need to sell himself. His resume supposedly speaks for itself, but
no,
it
does.
Because Tampa didn't pick up the phone. Tampa wasn't the one going after.
No, they did. They called him.
They weren't the one.
They called him. They did pick up the phone. That's exactly what they did.
Tom Brady had to sell them on the idea of taking a fossil and trying to be and make something happen. That Tom Brady wasn't going to be like most dinosaurs who wound up being extinct, because that's what Tom Brady is, a dinosaur. And the other idea was there was only two teams that really had any interest. One was obvious because the Chargers are trying to sell tickets and they need help. So the Chargers was obvious, and if it wasn't for that, it would be no place for him.
They wanted him for football reasons.
No, they wanted
that's
him
your
for
team.
He wanted them.
That's your team. You thought they were going to the Super Bowl last year. They're just a quarterback away. Brady was the guy for football reasons.
No, it wasn't. It was about selling tickets, making the franchise worthy of fans in Los Angeles.
But winning is what makes you worthy, Rob. You know that.
Yeah, but you need to sometimes get a name just to get people excited and take notice when you're a franchise that just doesn't get any clout and people aren't talking about. The bottom line is there were like almost no interest in a 43-year-old Tom Brady, who will be that on this coming season. And instead, he had to grovel between Tampa Bay and the Chargers. Those were the only two teams interested in Tom Brady. If the reports are true, the Patriots didn't even make a token offer, like to even be like,
well
take it or leave it.
Robert Kraft has said they wanted him.
Well, but there,
he
was
said
other,
Brady
there were other reports
the
that
I'm
say
just
that,
saying.
That there was no that there was no offer. So all I'm saying is it tells you about where Tom Brady is. He had to go to a franchise that has been embarrassing, to say the least. You could sugarcoat all you want and talk about all the young players and where they were and how the defense. They still didn't make the playoffs. And how
that's because they didn't have Tom Brady. They had Jameis Winston throwing interceptions.
Yeah, okay. That's not the only reason they lost. But it's easy for you to just put it out there like that. But this will be the interesting thing is that when you think about this and the story's written, virtually nobody wanted Tom Brady. And that's why he had to go down to also ran a terrible franchise to get a job. How embarrassing for the supposed GOAT, where he had to sing his praises and show his resume. When you have as many accomplishments as Tom Brady, you shouldn't have to do any of that. You should just pick up the phone. I'm coming. How much you going to pay me? And that's it. What conversation do you need to have with Tom Brady if he's all that in a bag of chips? There's no conversation.
Hold on. All that shows, Rob, stop with the revisionist history. Because all that shows is that Brady was excited to go to Tampa Bay. That's it. They wanted him. They called him. He didn't call Tampa Bay. He didn't send a message, hey, tell the Buccaneers to call me. I'm interested. I want to play. They called him. And here's the proof. In February at the NFL Combine, Bruce Arians was asked if he could have one quarterback. One. Who would it be? You know who Arians said? Weeks before the call, darn near a month before the call. Tom Brady.
Yes, but Tom Brady
they
had to sell them
no
on his services. That's not true.
He didn't have to sell them.
Yes, he did. Because
they wanted him anyway.
The GM told you.
And if I have to sell you on something, you're not giving me $50 million guaranteed when I'm 43 years old. If I have to sell you, then you're getting me on the cheap.
It's the bad team tax. They don't mind paying him. The 1 year, it's when you have to take a second year that you know you shouldn't
be. Well, they gave him the second year.
Well, because they had no choice. They haven't made the playoffs in 12 years,
No, because they
Chris.
Think he they can
no
lead
choice.
Them to
they don't even sell out in Tampa Bay.
Prominence.
They don't sell out in Tampa Bay. Their game's not even that. For years, they weren't even on TV. Their game was blacked
fine,
out before they
like
lifted
Tampa
it.
Don't act like Tampa Bay's never been anything.
They won
they
one
have
Super Bowl.
Won a
my
Super
God.
Bowl.
And that was unbelievable.
That's more than a lot of people can say. So Tampa Bay is a sleeping giant. Everybody, you raved about their talent at receiver. They don't need Antonio Brown because they're stacked on the outside. Now you got a guy who can get them the ball, who's not going to throw it to the opponent. Oh, trust me, Rob Parker, you will be buying me lemon pepper chicken wings, boneless, without the bones, without the structure.
You got to have the bones.
And look,
you got to have the structure.
Don't forget, Chris, all the other teams that were vying for quarterbacks. The Titans, instead of Tom Brady, re-signed Tannehill. The Panthers took Teddy Bridgewater. The Colts took Phillip Rivers. These are all teams that could have used Tom Brady. They weren't interested.
The 49ers decided to
stick with Jimmy G.
You think Rivers is better than Brady?
Yep.
Oh,
they were,
please.
They refused,
I don't know what they were thinking.
They refused to pay the bad team tax, and they're not giving off that. Rivers got a one-year contract. If Tom Brady was asking for realistic situations and realistic numbers, those teams might have taken him for a year,
I'm
but they weren't taking 2 years.
I'm not mad at a team saying, hey, he's going to be 43. We only want to give him a year. But I'm also, not mad at Tampa Bay for believing in me. Arians thinks he can work with him. And Tom Brady, all this talk about he can't throw the long ball anymore, he can't do this, he can't do that, his numbers were essentially the same as Aaron Rodgers. And I'm not even saying it because I know you like Rodgers. It's not even about that. I'm just saying Aaron Rodgers is an all-time great who's still a very good quarterback. And Tom Brady, without a great running game led by an Aaron Jones, without a Devontae Adams as a receiver, still put up the same numbers essentially as Aaron Rodgers. Actually, yes, threw for more yards than Rodgers.
The only problem you have is he beat up a lot of bad teams in
what?
The AFC.
So did Green Bay.
No, they did not like the Patriots.
What happened when they met up with a really good team? They got smashed.
No, they did not like the Patriots.
37-3, that wasn't a smash. Is that what it was? Wasn't
they didn't even get off the plane on that.
They got off the plane.
They went to Dallas.
On the field. They
went to Dallas. They beat up Dallas.
They put their uniforms on and everything. They showed up.
The Patriots,
they just got
the
punched
Patriots
in the
were
mouth.
The worst 8-0 team we ever saw in the NFL.
That's fine, but they were still 8-0. It's the NFL. They still went up against real people.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Carmelo Anthony and Dwayne Wade, two future Hall of Famers, from the class of 2003, the draft class of 2003, which was a tremendous draft. One of the greatest drafts ever. LeBron James, number one. Darko Milicic, number two, which obviously he's the mistake in the top five.
He did win a ring.
Right. He got handed a ring, you mean.
He got a ring.
With the Detroit Pistons. But number three, Carmelo Anthony. Number four, Dwayne Wade. Number five, Chris Bosh. I mean, I don't know if Bosh and Wade, they might have been reversed. I think Bosh was four. Check that out, Rob G. But I think Bosh was four to Toronto and Wade was five to Miami. And then there were other great players or very good players later on in that draft. But great draft. But anyway, they, of course, are part of the Banana Boat crew with LeBron and Chris Paul, good friends, vacation together and all that. So Wade and Melo were having a chat, a video chat. I don't know if it was Instagram or what, but they were just talking about various things, basketball related and otherwise. And here is what Melo said. Remember, a lot of people, Rob, and you were in Detroit at the time, a lot of people thought Detroit would take Melo number two. Instead, they surprised a lot of people and took Darko Milicic. But here's what Melo said. Had the Pistons gone ahead and drafted him number two, he thinks his career would be much different. Rob, I'm going to let you start with this one because you were in Detroit as a columnist.
Yeah,
and you were
time,
you know, fairly close to that team. So go ahead and tell me your thoughts. I remember I was at the
Meadowlands, Chris, when the Pistons were in the playoffs, when they got that pick. Do you remember? Like, you know, it was during the playoff game.
Right.
And I remember that. And right away, everybody assumed. I can remember asking Joe Dumars that day, and he was the GM, if it was Melo. And he wasn't committed, you know, to it or whatever.
Right.
And a lot of people, of course, Darko didn't work out to where they wanted. There was a lot of things that worked against him. But
did you know it was when they, by the time they drafted Darko, did you, I can't remember, was it, did you know he was going to take Darko or was everybody thinking he was going to take Melo?
No, it was kind of out there that it was going to be Darko. Even if you Google and look at Kiki Vanderway, he's on the record that say if it was reversed and he had the second pick instead of the third pick, that he would have taken.
He would have taken Darko, too.
Yes. That was what seemed to be the consensus at that time. It's always different after the fact. You could say, the Pistons should have taken Dwayne Wade. Dwayne Wade was never in anybody's draft board, Chris. Like, he was the fifth pick.
Well, to be honest, Rob, I remember when Miami drafted him, I thought it was a mistake. Because remember, they had Eddie Jones.
Right. So you and go, why are you doing that?
They need a point guard. I don't remember what other point guards were in that draft, but I was like, they don't need another two guards. You got Eddie Jones,
and see,
who was an all-star.
That was part of the thing with the Pistons as well. First of all, and this is coming from Doug Gottlieb, and I was doing ESPN radio with Doug Gottlieb, Chris, back then. And he said Darko was the greatest, and I'm hope I'm not misquoting him, 15-year-old player he had ever seen. He was playing overseas and had played with Darko and ranted and raved about Darko, how good he was. And maybe one day down the road we'll get Doug on again, you know, if it ever comes up. But anyway,
you know, Rob, since you were there, Larry Brown, who's obviously an all-time great coach, Hall of Famer,
I think he's the best basketball coach ever. I do.
Yeah, I mean, I don't, but he's an. There are those that agree with you on that, and I think he's certainly one of the greats for sure. Only one to win an NCAA championship and an NBA championship.
Yep, and other than the Knicks, everywhere he went, and he had many stops, all his teams improved and got better.
The Knicks is the only one.
And he wasn't there long enough. Do you know what I mean?
Doing some baffling stuff with the Knicks.
Right.
You know, but it wasn't a good look.
His track record,
he did some bad things, some crazy things there. But then with Team USA in 2004, I don't know what Larry was doing either.
Okay, so let me make my point. The other thing with the Pistons is that they had Tayshaun Prince.
Right.
Who was a really good young player they got from Kentucky. If I remember, Chris, I think he was a 22nd pick.
He was a low first rounder.
But he wound up being a good player for them. And I don't know if Melo and that Pistons team in 2004, if you remember, it was all about defense on that team.
No question. Second best defense in the league.
Yes, and at one point, I think the streak was 12 or 13 games, Chris, or 11 or 12. They held their opponents to 70 points or less for 11 straight games in an NBA season. It was incredible. And when the first team that got over 70, you know, over the 70-point mark, they celebrated after the game because they couldn't, you know what I mean?
Did nobody they win?
Yeah, they did win. They beat the Pistons, you know, like real close, but they got over 70. And I remember how excited they were because no one had been able to do it. So I don't know how well Melo would have fit in with that team. I'm not saying obviously he's a great player, Chris, and he would have had to adjust. But Larry Brown, and you remember, Chris, with the it wasn't the Olympic team. What was it? When he had LeBron didn't play.
That was 2004, the Olympic team. He had LeBron, Wade,
Melo
and
didn't play.
Melo, and they sat on the bench.
Yep.
And so, I thought, and I don't know if at one time I was saying Larry Brown was the greatest coach ever, but after he won that title with Detroit, I was really singing his praises. Like, he was right there in the conversation. But as you said, and I know this doesn't take away, obviously doesn't take away what he did otherwise, but the New York situation where he was bad and that Olympic performance in 04, I thought he was terrible there for several reasons. But those kind of made me rethink where I rank Larry. But he's an all-time great and to lead that Pistons team to the title. So let me ask you this, Rob. Are you saying that you're not sure they would have won a title with Melo?
Yeah, I'm like, not the way that team was constructed. And if you go back, the biggest player that 2004 season was a block by Tayshaun Prince of Reggie Miller, who had an automatic dunk that would have given the Pacers, Chris, a 2-0 lead, in that series. And instead it didn't
That's a legendary block.
It really was, because that was an easy dunk for Reggie Miller to ice that game. And somehow the Pistons, not only did he block, he kept it in bounds. I was in Indianapolis for that game.
Did he block it off the glass?
No, he went up and got it. Just like Reggie was going for like a layup or lay in instead of dunking the
ball.
It was
like a LeBron chase down.
Yeah, it was a chase down. It was unbelievable. Kept it in bounds. Rip Hamilton grabbed it. And the Pistons were able to win that game. And it changed the entire thing. And I remember, Chris, writing that night, I wrote, if the Pistons make it to the NBA Finals, here's the reason why. That's how big of a play, even at that time, it seemed. Yeah. And I don't know. So I don't know. And they had Tayshaun, who was not a star by any question, on the caliber of a Carmelo, but he did stuff that people need to win championships. You know what I mean?
Right.
That kind of player.
We see that basketball is not just about accumulating a bunch of superstars. Even though we've had big threes and, you know, there is that kind of trend now. That doesn't always win. I mean, LeBron in Miami. Yeah, they won, but they won 2 out of 4.
Right. They should have won all
3 or 4.
Right.
You know, and those two were very tough to win, especially the second one against San Antonio. So it's not just about having all the talent, but I think you make a great point because, as you said, the calling card of those Pistons teams was defense. And Tayshaun Prince was a huge part of that. You had three scores in Chauncey Billups, Rip Hamilton, and Rasheed Wallace.
Right.
So Ben Wallace and Tayshaun, their roles, they were perfect for what they needed. They didn't need to be big scorers. They needed to defend and do the little things. And remember how big Tayshaun was in the finals when they upset the Lakers. He guarded Kobe.
I was going to say that. Right? And he did a great job.
Yes, because you had to double team Shaq. So that means you needed a guy that could guard Kobe. And I'm not saying he shut him down, but, you know, he did a good job on Kobe, about as good as you can do. And you needed a guy capable of doing that.
And Chris, here's the other part. That 2014 won't get the kind of credit it should have, even though in 2005 they went back, so it wasn't like a fluke and they went one time. And they had a great chance to beat San Antonio, if you remember that series. Pistons fell down 0-2.
They should have beat them.
And they went back to Detroit for three games, and Rasheed Wallace left Robert Horry open. He went to double Manu Ginobili in the corner.
Cramp. There is to it.
Robert Horry made that shot, and then Rip had a chance to win it at the end on the other end of the floor. Missed that shot. Pistons go to San Antonio. They win game six, and then game seven, Chris, they're in the fourth quarter, I think they were up 3 or 4, and they wind up losing by 5 or 6. But they were right there. Had they won another one, they would have solidified themselves as one of those special teams to win two championships. Star player to do it twice.
They would have been only team probably to do
it. Right, because Seattle did it once. You know what I'm saying?
Player, right.
They
wouldn't have been an all-time great team.
That would have been a team mention that they didn't have a big-time star and to win back-to-back. Like I said, the Spurs never won back-to-back.
Right, but they wouldn't have been an all-time great team. They would have just achievement.
You would have had to talk about that team, that's all.
Yeah, because of that, yeah. I mean, you're embellishing a little because you were in Detroit. I mean,
I covered every game for that team. I was there.
All right, this wasn't supposed to be a Detroit Pistons segment. All right? But here's the thing. I will agree with you because I remember saying at the time, if they had drafted Melo, I'm not sure they win that championship because defensively they wouldn't have been what they would have. Melo would have, you know, the pecking order and everything would have changed, you know, because Melo obviously was a great offensive player. He wouldn't have guarded Kobe like Tayshaun did in the playoffs, that's for sure, finals.
Right, and think about how deep that team was, Chris. Darko didn't really play.
I mean, Melo would have played at worst, and this would have been a good role for him. See, Larry Brown didn't like playing a lot of young players, rookies. That's why he didn't play Melo, LeBron, and Wade in the Olympics, which was a mistake, but
didn't have any playing time for Darko. I mean, he really didn't.
And I think at worst, Melo would have come off the bench and been maybe a 15, 16-point scorer off the bench, which could have been a good role for him if he had accepted it. But I will say this. I do think they would have won at least one title. And I'm going to say maybe the next year in 05 when they played the Spurs, I'm going to say maybe they would have beat the Spurs because Chauncey Billups was great for Melo. We saw that when he went to Denver, right? With AI, with Iverson and Melo, they couldn't get out of the first round. They trade Iverson for Chauncey, and they go to the conference finals and push the Lakers. They lost in six to the Lakers, and I actually thought they could beat the Lakers that year.
Chauncey went to four straight conference finals, the three with the Pistons his last 3 years there, Chris, and then his first year in Denver, and finished bridesmaid all four.
Right.
Four straight.
He was a winner and a leader, and he was a guy that would tell Melo, look, we're going elsewhere. We're going, you know, we're not, you know, you can't get the ball every trip down. You know what I mean? That's a bad shot, whatever. That would have been good for Melo. So I do think they would have worked. They would have been a different type of team, but it would have worked. So I'm going to say they would have won a title.
I'm going to say no. I'm going to say it wouldn't have worked because Melo just didn't fit into where they were at that time. And I'm talking about from the defensive end. It would have been hard for him to get playing time off the bench.
Playing? Really? So no, you don't think he would have played?
I'm not saying he wasn't going to play at all. But if he didn't play defense, he wouldn't have got as much playing time. That's what I meant to say.
Wow. I think he would have went there and been great.
Do you remember who came off the bench? Lindsey Hunter and
yeah, but they not. No,
I'm just
Melo.
I'm just saying that
like Melo,
everybody was defensive who came off that.
Oh
team.
Yeah, yeah.
That's all I'm
Melo,
saying.
Rob Melo would have been like maybe certainly not that first year, but he would have been the best player on that team. Don't you think? I mean, like I said, it wouldn't have shown the first year because he would have had to play a role. But Melo's better than Chauncey and Rip and Rashid and everybody that was on that team.
I get it. That team had to go together. They all fit, right? I agree.
That's why they could win without a superstar.
Exactly. Exactly.
It would have been interesting. All right, we're going to throw it out to you. 877-99 on Fox. 877-996-6369. If Carmelo Anthony ended up getting drafted by the Pistons in 2003, do you think he'd have two or three rings by now? And man, think about what that would do for his legacy. He's a Hall of Famer to me already, first ballot. You agree with that, Rob?
Yeah, I mean, the way that the...
Stop the way it's set up. Baseball is pretty watered down, too.
I'm just
so
saying
stop.
The way it's set up. Okay.
What? He won a national championship. He's a perennial All-Star.
I said the way it's set up. Absolutely.
The
absolutely.
Way it's set up.
Is that it's not an NBA Hall of Fame. It's a basketball
Even if,
Hall
if
of
it
fame.
Were an NBA, he'd still be in there. Come on. You no love. No love.
Be sure to catch live editions of The Odd Couple with Chris Broussard and Rob Parker. Weekdays at 7 p.m. Eastern, 4 p.m. Pacific on Fox Sports Radio and the iHeartRadio app.
Giannis, I got to be honest. I don't know if he was joking, poking fun. I don't think he was doing it disrespectfully at all. But I just wonder if knowing the beef that's out there, if this is why he gave this answer. But anyway, the great Giannis Antetokounmpo, who was well on his way to a second MVP award. We'll see if they even have an award this year. He was on Instagram Live and taking questions from fans. And he was asked, who is the hardest player to guard in the NBA? Now, remember, Giannis is arguably the best defender in the league. And he said, Rob, after thinking about it, and it took him a while to come up with an answer, but he answered that it was James Harden. James Harden. And that's obviously a guy that he's had a lot of beef with, and, you know, Harden disrespected him when Giannis won MVP last year, said it was all about narrative, which I don't even know what the narrative was, but he said that's what it was about. And then Giannis said he didn't pick him. I'm picking Kemba Walker for the All-Star team because I need somebody that's going to pass the ball. Then Giannis said, I'm going at, you know, in the All-Star game, our strategy at the end of the game when everybody was really playing hard was to give the ball to whoever Harden was guarding. And then Harden came back and said, hey, if I was 7 feet tall and all I had to do was run and dunk, I'd be able to do that too. I need to play with skill because I'm just normal size for an NBA player. And so it went back and forth. But Giannis, I don't know if this is an olive branch. I don't know if, you know, he really thinks Harden is the toughest player in the NBA to guard. Or I don't know if he was just kind of having some fun with it. And hey, you know, I'm not trying to beef anymore with Harden. He's a great player. I'm going to throw him out there. I don't think it was disrespectful. But anyway, he said Harden is the toughest player in the NBA to guard. Rob Parker, do you agree?
I do. I think that Harden presents a lot of stuff. That's why, Chris, he has moves. He gets fouled a lot. He gets to the free throw line, right? So you have to worry about that.
Yep.
He can get to the basket. He can take a step back and knock down a far three. I mean, what can he do? I think he was being legit, being honest, and not playing any kind of game. Was just saying, I think this guy is tough to defend, and it's hard for me to argue with that.
Yeah, look, Harden is certainly an incredible offensive player, one of the all-time greats. And as you said, he is very tough to guard. And in addition to all his moves, his handle, his step back, his feints and slights and the great jump shot, his ability to draw fouls is second to none. And as you said, he's a great free throw shooter. So that definitely makes him difficult to handle. But I'm going to throw a name out at you who I think is even tougher to guard than James Harden. And I don't know if I'm cheating a little bit because he didn't play this year. He's hurt. But I'm going to say Kevin Durant. Kevin Durant's still in the league. So I'm going to say Durant is the hardest person in the league to guard.
Yeah, you know what? I mean, I get that, Chris, and kind of out of sight, out of mind.
Right.
And I think, don't you think that Giannis isn't thinking about him because of that?
Yeah, I agree. I think Giannis probably was just thinking about players played this season. I really do.
I don't think that's a diss
to
Kevin Durant.
Now, would you go, if we're including everybody, you know, Kyrie, Steph, Klay, all the guys that were hurt, would you say KD?
I would say KD because I think he's a hard cover. I mean,
to be that height,
to be able to handle the ball, to be able to shoot the three, mid-range, what doesn't he do?
He's unstoppable. You just got to hope he misses.
I agree because we've seen, you know, that signature shot, and I know KD's done a lot, but the one that shot in LeBron's face in the finals, I mean, that was just another example of just what his ability is. I mean, he wasn't looking for anybody. Right, but you know what I mean? Like, most guys couldn't make that shot or wouldn't take it.
Well, beyond that, I mean, just like you said, he can go off the dribble. He can shoot the three. He can shoot the mid-range. He can post. I mean, and he's 7 feet tall. So you can play tremendous defense on him, and he's still going to get the shot off. He's unstoppable. I used to say this years ago. I used to say he's like a 7-foot version of Steph Curry. Because he doesn't shoot it quite as well as Steph, but he shoots it really well. And Steph can go off the dribble and handle and, you know, finish at the basket and finish mid-range and in the paint and shoot the three, obviously. Durant can do all that too, but he's 7 feet tall. So I think Durant is the most unstoppable. Let me throw this at you. Who do you think is the most unguardable NBA player of all time? The way Giannis was asked. Let's say the toughest NBA player to guard of all time.
I know it sounds cliche. I want to say Michael, but I'm going to say Will Chamberlain.
Yeah, you can definitely.
I mean, he was unstoppable. They had to rewrite the rules to stop him. That's the only reason I say Will Chamberlain.
Well, Rob G, we were talking about it before. He says Shaq, and both of those are very, you know, good answers. Because how do you stop either one of them?
Right, and the other one is Kareem, who had a shot that was unblockable.
Right,
a shot that he knocked down at a great success rate.
Until he was like 42 years old.
I mean, he was unbelievable. To be honest, unbelievable.
But all that said, I still am going to say Michael Jordan.
Yeah, it's hard for me to argue, Chris.
Right. The one reason is because, as you said, you couldn't stop him. Shaq, you couldn't stop him. But obviously part of the strategy is to foul him. And when you foul both of them, neither was a great free throw shooter. Will was like 51% for his career. Shaq had to be somewhere around there. But Michael Jordan obviously didn't have their size, but he did, we said about Durant. I mean, the fadeaway, obviously driving to the basket, he was unstoppable. Finishing at the rim, was a decent three-point shooter in that day and age. Developed a really good mid-range jump shot, turnaround, fadeaway, post-up. And then if you fouled him, he was an 84% career foul shooter. So I'm just going to say Jordan. Obviously, he's got the numbers where he's the highest, you know, has the highest scoring average for a career ever. I'll go with him. None of these are bad answers.